Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Dog Ate My Meeple podcast. Today we'll be talking about my top 3 games to get your non-board game friends to play with you. I decided that that's an idea that's worth sharing, and I'm not going to say that it's anything particularly new, but I thought it may be worth sharing my thoughts on my top 3 choices of new games, older games, classic games, that will potentially get your friends into board games and perhaps do that plus one to your current gaming group, and we all know how we would love to get more people to play with. So without further ado, let's get straight into the list. Okay, so while I didn't mention that it's going to be my top 3, it's not the top 3 best games. Let's say these are my top 3 picks in different categories. I will introduce 3 games from different categories of games and for different types of players, and hopefully that will match some of your friends, or perhaps based on the games, the video games they like or the movies they like, there may be some recommendations there. So let's start with a great introduction to Eurogames. I'm sure we have all friends that played Monopoly, Scrabble and things like that, and whenever you start saying, well, I play board games, it's likely that people kind of jumped to these games immediately. However, the game I would love to recommend is Carcassonne. I mean, it is a classic for a very good reason. It's a great game that's very simple to teach to new players, has incredible replayability because as we play, we are using the tiles to build the actual game map, which means every single time the map will look completely different. It has enough depth that you can actually play and try to win the games in a few different ways, while also has enough randomness and replayability that you can play incredible amount of times without it feeling dull or boring. There is also incredible amount of different expansions that change the game, and these are all modular in nature, meaning I can add one expansion, ignore another. Very often now, as far as I know, the newest edition has the river expansion already included in the base box, so you already have something to add to the game should you wish to. Now, there is a third edition at the moment, and it looks quite nice, I've got to say, though I personally still have the very first edition, the big box which came with number of different expansions. I believe there are like the 4 big expansions, 2 smaller ones, and additional meeples and sets in order to be able to play the game with up to 7 or 8 people. I mean, it's a game that actually could accommodate such a large number. Yes, of course, downtime would be slightly longer, but we are not talking about anything particularly long. To sum up the game, you grab a tile, blind, you turn it around, you match it to the game. You can put it together to create castles where you put your meeples that represent knights, that scores you points. You can put them on land that will make them farmers, that they have their own mechanic on how to score points. You can put them on churches where they become priests and that scores you points for depending on how many tiles you have around, or you can put them on roads to make them bandits, and the longer the road, the more points they score. And that's pretty much it. Of course, very, very simplified, and it's slightly more complex than that, but slightly isn't an exaggeration here. The game is still incredibly simple to teach, but it's really fun to play. I remember visiting a number of my friends, taking the game with me, and most people were actually quite into it really quickly. They found the game really easy to play, really easy to learn, and once they got the grasp of, you know, the basic mechanics, adding one expansion or another was just enough to pique their curiosity and want them, make them ask for another game. They wanted to have let's do it one more time, but maybe add this expansion this time. And you can always switch, match around and play with these however you wish. So yes. Also, the game looks really lovely on the table. If you want to have some pictures, you can go to my Instagram on The Dog Ate My Meeple. I've got some pictures of Carcassonne over there. Or just simply Google Carcassonne board game, and I guarantee you that when you will see it, you will agree with me. There are a few different editions of the game, unique editions. There is, for example, Star Wars edition, which added some special rules. There is also a winter edition, which is on my absolute dream list of having, because anything winter always hits the spot for me. So, you know, imagining all the fields and castles covered in snow when you play Carcassonne would be absolutely lovely. However, be aware that these editions do not have the expansions available, so if you want to expand the game, it's safest to just go with the base game in the standard set, none of the other special editions. And yeah, so you go. If you want a really simple Euro game, that's simple to teach, really fun to play, and offers great responsibility and offers great replayability without breaking your bank, then Carcassonne is definitely a great choice. Now, for my game number two, and that's a game that is definitely much heavier, and it's much more expensive, but also introduces app-supported gaming. So it shows that board games by now are not only rolling dice for, you know, snakes and ladders, but it's a much bigger thing that can actually tell a great story. Now, the game I would recommend, and I have to admit, I was a bit split over here. I was split between Mansions of Madness and Destinies. And while I absolutely love Destinies, and there is so much to like about the game, and we will have a full review coming soon, I have to recommend Mansions of Madness for a very simple reason. Mansions of Madness is a co-op game that is very much story-driven, and the cooperative aspect is what helped me make that final decision. I really think that having that aspect of working together towards achieving a goal works a bit better when we're introducing new people to board games. There is nothing wrong with being, you know, playing some PvP games or just, you know, playing Carcassonne when the points win you the game. But I think in a story-driven game like this one, working together towards a goal is a bit more interesting because it gets all players engaged. I've played pretty much through all of the base scenarios of Mansions of Madness 2nd edition. We have a whole big review of the game from a few years back, so definitely you can go back to that episode and give it a go. But Mansions of Madness is just a great game. It's a game of Lovecraftian mysteries and horror. We can play it alone, we can play it with up to 5 people. It doesn't require a game master or a dungeon master or a secret keeper, but it provides that kind of RPG-esque experience in that box. It also has loads of lovely miniatures, so, you know, if you get these painted, or even just if you pop them on the table, the game definitely has a table presence. It looks lovely with all the different rooms, the tiles are top-notch quality, and of course, being an FFG game, we know we are getting a good quality product. Now, of course, the problem is that a lot of people are worried what's going to happen if eventually the app stops working, but we already have a fan-made app called Valkyrie, which gives you a bucket load of other scenarios. So the 4 base scenarios in the base game aren't really the end of it. Now, at this point, however, I have to mention that there is one really big problem with Mansions of Madness, or should I say 2. First thing is expensive. The game is not cheap, and I think at the moment the base game, if you want to buy a brand new one, costs something about £100, so it will cost your pocket dearly. Second thing is that while Carcassonne has majority of the expansions generally available, expansions of Mansions of Madness are worth the weight in gold. It's very difficult to get them, like many of other FFG products. They were limited run, and now they are fetching completely ridiculous prices. Hence, even right now on my shelf, I'm looking at it, I only have the base box. Despite loving the game and wishing to have more, but I'd much rather buy another nice big game than spend £60 or £70 on a box that will add one scenario to the base game. I just don't think the expansions are worth it. Despite that, the base game itself, which if you look second hand you can buy for £50-60, is well worth the price and will deliver a superb experience that will show your friends that games can be story driven, can be full of mystery, puzzles, and are much more than just rolling a die to move around. It introduces some statistics and some basic mechanics and has some basic combat as well, so it's actually really fun to play and provides enough depth to get people interested into the stories. Last great thing is that the scenarios are actually replayable, and while yes, for most part you kind of know the storyline of it, there are certain elements which are randomized or semi-randomized, meaning that the game is unlikely to be exactly the same on any given playthrough, which is always a bonus. Now, moving on to my last choice, it may be a bit of a surprise because I don't think the game is that popular anymore. I know there is a new version that popped out that added a bit more of a kind of gameplay to it, but generally I think that's a game that was at one point quite well known, but now seems to have fallen into obscurity. Now, this is the game that I would call a party game, even though it's not a party game in your typical sense. And I'm not talking about Cockroach Poker, that I thoroughly recommend and I have reviewed recently. I'm talking about Dixit. Now, yes, I do know that there are potentially better games like Mysterium that develop the concept a bit better and add an additional layer of complexity to it. But the reason why I recommend Dixit is because of how simple it is. The premise of the game is that simple. We have a bunch of cards. One person will choose a concept and say something, make a noise. Perhaps they will say birthday and put a card down. Everyone else will choose their card from their hand with the image that they believe best represents the idea or the concept of birthday. We all shuffle the cards, we show all the cards, and the game begins where everyone has to decide and vote on which card they believe the person put down when saying birthday. Sounds simple, right? And that's because it is. The game sounds really simple, and that's the magic of it. It's really easy to learn. There isn't really much complexity there. We say a word, we say a phrase, we make a sound, we choose a card, everyone else does the same, and we try to guess which card the person saying the phrase put down. Now, the tricky bit comes that we don't want everyone to just decide correctly, and we don't want everyone to get it wrong, because that's when everyone else gets the points. If it's too easy, we don't really get the points. If it's too hard, we don't get the points either. We want just some people to get it and some to get it wrong, and that gives us the largest amount of points that we could score. So yes, that's pretty much it. The art itself is really nice, and there are some expansions that have been built. I think the base game also has two different versions. There is the basic Dixit, there is another Dixit called the Dixit Odyssey, and there is a lot of lovely things in there. The art itself is great. The cards are really unique. They have this kind of dreamlike vibe to them. They look like art from children's stories, and that's the beauty of it. There are still some cards I remember, even though I haven't played the game in ages. But yes, it's that nice. It's not a game that costs a fortune either at the moment, you can grab it relatively cheap, so it's definitely a great game if we are trying to get someone into it but we don't want to bombard them with choices. We want to keep it simple, we want to keep it fun, and maybe learn a thing or two about our friends. You will see who understands you better. Perhaps it's because you share some, you know, hobbies, perhaps because you have shared some experience or you've experienced or you've had a story together, and that can give you that extra edge to help you get only some people to understand the reference you're making. It's a really fun, simple game that works really well with parties of different ages. You can play it with kids, with adults, even with, you know, your grandparents, and I'm sure they will still enjoy and have great fun while at it. So with that, that's about it. Like I said, the episode is quite short and to the point, but I thought it's a good idea to do something different rather than just another review. Now, we do have quite a lot of reviews coming. We've got Destinies, we've got Wingspan, I'll be reviewing some of the Warhammer Underworld box sets, I've got an Azul review coming up as well, and a small game called Empty Space that I'm sure you've never heard of, as well as my newest purchase, Seta Watch. So, as you can see, there is a lot of stuff coming, but for today, that's about it. If you are not following me on Instagram, please do. You can find me at The Dog Ate My Meeple. You can also find me on Facebook in The Dog Ate My Meeple fan community. And I'm always there. You can always find me there, have a chat, or if you have any questions, feel free to drop them. If you would like me to perhaps review your game, let me know as well. I'm always happy to give them a go and, you know, hit up, enjoy your games. Follow us up, and I hope I'm gonna hear you again in the next episode. So, thank you very much for listening, and I hope to see you soon. Take care, and game on, everyone.